stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Tivoli Talk, Understanding the Gartner Magic Quadrant Ranking for TRSM and Driving Revenue for IBM. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Director of Worldwide Sales, John Fregg. John, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending what part of the world you're in. We have close to 300 people on the phone today. Coming from all walks of life as far as IBM sales and technical sales, as well as a number of business partners and our colleagues from our global services. So I'd like to welcome everybody to this call. Hopefully you all have the chart deck. It was provided in the link with the calendar invitation. If you go ahead and flip to chart number two, there's a couple things we'd like to cover today. First off, why are we having this call? Second off, understanding the Magic Quadrant and how you can use it to your selling advantage. Understanding this current 2008 Magic Quadrant in the IT service desk area. How to manage our customer reactions here. A number of resources you can leverage in a call to action. With me today is Chris O'Connor, our Worldwide Vice President of Strategy for Tivoli. And Chris, I'd like to welcome you along with me on the call today.
Thanks, John. Happy to be here.
So the reason we're having this call is you'll see shortly that Gartner just published a Magic Quadrant around IT Service Desk, and there's a number of what we consider peculiarities to the ranking. Chris will go into that in detail. However, it offers us a unique advantage to really leverage this. Honestly, we don't necessarily agree with Gartner, but we're not exactly sure, why they ranked us this way, but I think it's, you'll see that there's just a number of things that they're not quite sure how to rank us, given that we're new to this market. We have some well-entrenched competitors. However, as we go through this call today, you'll see that we have some wonderful technological solutions as well as some wonderful services engagements, either from our partners or from our global services teams. So, Chris, maybe I'd like to turn it over to you for the next slide.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, everybody, for being on. I see there's quite a few of you today. I think John spelled it out very well. We have in front of us a Gartner Magic Quadrant. I'm going to take you guys through the facts, and then we're going to have a Q&A, I think, towards the end. And we are going to need to talk to you guys as a team about how to look at this and what we think it means as well. To kind of start with this, as we go to slide number three, we spend quite a bit of time with all the different analyst teams that are out there in the industry. And as you can imagine, we work with different teams around the world. We work with different analyst firms, and we work with different people inside those analyst firms. Those teams spend time either looking broadly and holistically at projects. They look at them narrowly at times, and they look at them sometimes in the middle. I want to talk to you today about this Gartner IT Service Desk Magic Quadrant and some of the things that were told to us by Gartner as they ranked it, some of the things that we discussed with Gartner as they went through it, and some of the things you need to be aware of and be able to rapidly respond to and talk to as you look at the data that was taken here. Let's start with the actual visual of what they've done to us. They have put us in the bottom left box. This is probably one of the lowest places that you could start from. And when we talked to Gartner, they told us that typically somebody that is starting in the Magic Quadrant for the first time, for this group of analysts, always starts in the bottom left. And that is indeed what they did to us, because you look at some of the other solutions that are there, like Axios and IET Solutions, and we rarely, if ever, see them in the final bake-off of who we're actually competing against with Service Request Manager. We found, as we talked to the Gartner analysts, to be quite factual, that the majority, the vast majority of their evaluation was done on the version 6.2 of SRM, which is the version that was prior to the full integration with IBM. And so this is a gross neglect there, and it has to do with timing. As you recall, last year, because of the MRO transaction being in progress, we were not in the Magic Quadrant. This is the first year that IBM is back in the Magic Quadrant in many, many years in terms of a help desk. And they looked at help desk only, not the holistic process lifecycle or process solution. They looked at only help desk. and they evaluated the 6.2 version of MRO. What this means is that they looked at the layer of code that had come in with the acquisition. They looked at the type of customers that MRO brought, which were primarily asset management-based solutions, not classic IT management-based solutions. And they looked at those and compared them to the other companies. And as you can see here, this gives us an opportunity to go out and talk to clients about 7-1. So when you hear this, the basic thing I'd like you to think about on slide three is this is the first time we were put in. Gartner told us that they were going to put us at a starting position, and they evaluated a software solution that is now older. We did go back, for those of you that might have a curiosity, and somewhat forcefully ask that they evaluate thoroughly our latest solutions. I would tell you they gave it a glance because it was very late in their cycle. There was not a thorough examination done of 7-1, which we found other analysts did look at when they looked at our vision and our ability to execute. Quite frankly, if you look at our numbers in terms of this year, we all know this year is an interesting year from a revenue point of view, but we are growing our service desk market share. We've had about 400% growth in 2007. Since 2007, we've been adding about 100 new clients every 4 months to this product. And we'll talk about that as we go forward. But we, in short, have been growing our market share. We've been growing our market vision. And we feel that we are well underway here. And you're going to have to be prepared to deal with this to a certain degree. As you move forward to slide number eight, and you take a look at some of the facts about TSRM, here's some of the things we want you to have in your kit bag. We're doing very well in the market, right? We've grown our customer base from 75 to 371. The last 4 months of the market data showed us about 100 new customers every 4 months. That's growth of approximately 400%. We'll cover it as we come to some of these slides, but many of these customers are referenceable, and many of these customers are starting to be large. TSRM is acknowledged as a market leader. So one of the things we're going to arm you with is we're actually going to arm you with a link off of this site to a wiki. And on that, we're going to include the Forrester Wave service desk management. We're going to include the stuff that EMA has said about us, and we're going to include the things that ESG has said about us also. So you're going to have other analyst reports to kind of offset this. Forrester, who looked deeply at the 7.1 code, and it is a respected analyst along beside Gartner, for example, a top-tier analyst, put us right up there with HP and BMC in terms of their analysis. This report, if you go click on it from a point of view, if you're running in screen show mode right now, I encourage you to click on the Forrester Wave, and you can go right out there and you can see that, and you can see what it looks like and read through it. And what you'll see in there is that IBM is indeed ranked very high. This is the difference, we think, between somebody that looks at everything that we're doing and how we're building process automation and somebody that looks at it just for help desk. We were told by Gartner as we talked to them that they were not looking at service management. They were not looking at how it linked with CCMDBs or CMDBs. They weren't looking at data and data process flows. They were looking just at help desk functions. So I think if you go out and you look, for example, at the write-up that was done by Forrester, what you'll see is a much more complete, holistic write-up. You'll see that in the leader quadrant that they've looked at our 7-1 basis of technology, and they've appraised us and ranked us so in terms of where those are. And so these are some tools you're going to need to have. You're going to need to use them with your clients. You're going to need to show them the counterbalance points here. And you're also going to need to kind of wave away the fact that Gartner just put us on the list to get started, and they looked at code that, quite frankly, was many years old. It would actually it should be easiest for us to explain where we are in this from a starting point of view than being someplace in the middle. And you'll have to be prepared to do this, and you'll have to use the tools that we're providing you now. If you kind of look through some of the other things that we've done, Service Request Management has just received PINC certification. So while PINC Certify or PINC Verify is not a complete industry standard, it is something that many companies look for. They look to see whether you've gotten PINC certified and whether your ITIL version 3 aligned with your service practices and your products have been verified to be in there also. That's just happened around TSRM as well as our CCMDB, in our release process manager. So you've got a whole new set of capabilities to sell from. When somebody asks how deep are you in the service management game, you can pull out these certifications and show them as well as some of the other analyst reports. We also just received the KCS certification, and that is just an industry alignment with knowledge management, and it's another certification that can be out there for you. Each of these is a live link. So if you're running in screen show mode right now, you should be able to go click into the wiki and be able to use these tools to your advantage and be able to read more. John, anything you'd like to add at this point in time? Otherwise, I'm going to move along to slide 5.
No, why don't you go ahead. I'll chime in just a second.
So let's talk a little bit more about what Gartner says, because you're going to hear some of this, and I'm quite sure that you're going to have some people ask you the question. So remember, Gartner evaluated SRM 6.2. This is the release that is not integrated with the rest of the Tivoli portfolio, and they even write down in their write-up, it lacks integration. In this, they looked at what it means to go look at 6.2 only, and they did not look at some of the other capabilities that we were introducing or some of the other things that we were doing with 7.1. Some of this legitimately is timing of when they write these reports versus has the product shipped. They started writing the Gartner Magic Quadrant before 7.1 shipped. So to be fair, we didn't have our latest software out at that point in time. On the other side of this, Gartner chose to ignore 7.1 largely once it shipped, despite the fact we provided them some opportunity to do that. So what we see here is this is an inaccuracy. And you can show this, you can demonstrate this. Some of the things that we've got going here are broader integration than the rest of the IT industry has. Analysts that evaluate CCMDB for Gartner and evaluate our help desk or other parts of our portfolio have commented on the amount of integration we have done with the 7.1 releases of code around CCMDB, SRM, asset management, IT asset management, and the process managers. So this is something you need to play to. You need to ask somebody, if you don't think you're integrated, let me show it to you. You need to play to the fact that Gartner largely evaluated 6.2. You need to play to the fact that the other analysts listened to the things that we were doing, even if they were writing their evaluations. They listened to the other things we were doing with 7.1, and they incorporated that in. And what you might have to do is show them what we can do here. We are the first product, for example, with our help desk to combine our service catalog and our help desk capabilities in a single offering. This is a part of 7.1. You'll find it not written up or mentioned well in the Gartner write-up. That's because they evaluated 6.2. You'll find that the solution works extremely well with asset management for IT, works well with the CCMDB, works from an integrated data model with the products such as Tatum and the discovery capabilities that is associated with it. So when you look at this, your ability to put together a solution sale, whether you're doing with IT asset management, whether you're doing it with the CCMDB, whether you're doing it with the process managers, on the 7.1 code base is your key to be able to show customers what we can do. And you ought to have that discussion with them. And if you go over to the wiki, which you can see is a hot link down at the bottom of slide 5, you can actually see some of the customer examples and case studies that are there for you to use. That shows some of our basic integrations. When you look at integrating service request management with the broader parts of Tivoli portfolio, Harley-Davidson uses these solutions with ITCAM and the monitoring products. They've integrated SRM throughout Omnibus, and they're using our latest levels of software. Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi is in the process of doing a rollout right now of integrating SRM with NetView for ZOS, and so they're blending Help Desk and some of our Z portfolio together at the same time. So we'll be providing these solutions to you as you go to the wiki and you look what's out there. We'll be providing you real case studies as well as we'll be updating them throughout the year. Let's talk for a minute about the wiki that you've just clicked on at the bottom of slide 5. We'll have another slide on it. But I do encourage you, if you're connected to the internet right now, to go and click out to the wiki and look at what's out there. We're going to build you a war room. It will be active throughout the entire year. We are obviously disappointed that Gartner chose to do most of their evaluation against a prior release of code. We are also going to be working to aggressively provide you all the right information so you guys can sell through this and understand what to go use and what the information is and have it at your fingertips also at the same time. I think that if somebody should bring up Gartner, and if I were sitting in a meeting, you know, I would probably calmly look back at them and I'd say, you know, they evaluated software that was two levels old. And just get the client to say, really? And then offer to show them the rest of this, and you bring in the rest of the references, and you bring in the rest of the capabilities that are here at the same time.
Hey, Chris, I think that's the critical point. When you're in front of your customers is, don't bash Gartner. They are a very well-respected firm. Have that factual discussion and do exactly that. Make the customer go back to Gartner and ask them, what version did you check it on? Look at the numbers of customers we're racking up each and every quarter, especially the number of segments they evaluated, because most of our customers are looking for these integrated solutions. And then, hitting that software release number about what they evaluated versus where we were at. Take a look at these references, or, it really changes the game on the evaluation.
And I think to John's point, our goal here is to not teach you how to bash Gartner. Some of us already had our rounds of doing that internally, and that's probably not what we want to be able to arm everybody to do. What we want to be able to do is arm you to be able to get the client to ask the right question to you, and then get the opportunity for you guys to show them what we've got. This can work to your advantage, given that they put it so far to the left and so far down, and we do have references, and we do have strong analyst rankings that clearly everybody that sees this after a small peek will say, well, something's amiss here. As we've talked about with the levels and the amount of evaluation they did, Gartner chose to look at a very narrow scope of releases as well as a very narrow scope of feature function that we think, given the integration and capabilities that are there in 7.1, is where you want to get your clients to say, just let me spend 5 minutes showing you what we can do. If you move on to slide number 6, you'll see that there's a comment in there about TSRM has a small number of successful enterprise implementations. You got to remember, this magic quadrant was started back in January of this year, so 2008. And we've been moving and growing since that point in time. So I've got to give Gartner, a point here in that we have been growing our customer base, and we've been doing large rollouts, and we've been making them happen as the year has gone by. But at the time that they wrote this report and that they contabulated most of the information, we're in the process of doing growth. Some of the things that I think are important is for you as sellers to understand this product base has grown 400% since 2007. This product base is hot for you guys to sell. You guys are selling it, and it is achieving. It is over plan. Got to be blunt, it's a tough year. It is one of the few products that you guys are killing in terms of getting over plan. And so my congratulations to you going from 75 customers to 371. We continue to see that the migrations and the forced marches that Peregrine and HP and BMC and Remedy are putting their customers through are tough discussions for our clients. We're continuing to see wins. We're continuing to see alignment with people that buy Tivoli and with people that are fed up with what HP and BMC are doing to their clients. We are beating people like ServiceNow, who have a interesting but weak offering around SaaS as a software as a service in many different accounts, some of them that are very unusual from a win point of view. So we want you to be aggressive here. We want you to be aggressive about taking a product that is selling well and continuing to sell it well. Don't blink. Don't back down. Take the data that we're providing you here on the wiki and use it. Take the fact that Gartner has decided to look so lightly at this product and put us in the far left, and use it as a way to hand wave it away, saying clearly they didn't look. And the facts are there that they didn't look, given the other analyst reports and given the other capabilities that we've put out there. We are displacing BMC and HP. We are growing. Gartner itself, in their own DataQuest market share report done by different analysts, showed TSRM has grown 94% in the time that they looked at it. Okay? So you got to realize there's some difference in timings here. But from a year-to-year basis, Gartner itself showed us growing 94%. So there's a little bit of conflict going on here. This report will also be available to you out on the wiki. And if you want to have some real fun with your clients, start popping that. I mean, if the client wants to go and really munge the data, you can baffle them with how could Gartner do this in terms of showing them all the other reports. It's up to you whether you want to go that route. I think the best route is to get the current client just to see the software and the integration around 7.1 and to wave off the fact they mostly look down market at the older products, but it's up to you. We are in the process of doing major rollouts across the board with other clients, Bank of America, MasterCard, Sisters of Mercy. All are in the process of rolling out SRM right now. So your reference list is going to grow, and you got to believe I've got tattooed all over my forehead, as well as John does on his, as well as the marketing team does on theirs, that we are going to grow this war room for you and the references out there to the point that we can put a reference hopefully in every region or several references in every region for you guys. We've got large outsourcers as well that provide service request management for outsourcing service desks. So these are organizations that take our code and they use it to support other organizations, including TD Bank. So the software is there, it scales, it's used with asset management and IT management around the world. It's unique in its integration that's on 7.1 that we're going to talk to you about, and it's there for you to use. As I move to slide 7, let's talk a little bit more about what you might hear. So we already talked about how Gartner may say it lacks integration and how they have evaluated the 6.2 release. We've already talked about the small number of successful implementations and talked about what we're doing to grow that and the client base that goes along with that that you have to work from today. And then last, let's talk about capabilities in terms of what it's evaluating. Remember when we talked about TSRM, we talked about the majority of the evaluation being done against 6.2. While they gave a cursory glance to 7.1, TSRM is delivering new function, new capabilities that other vendors in some cases don't have, and it easily is on par with other help desks that are out there in the industry. So service, self-service and service request management. We've integrated these capabilities, right? This is a capability that is there. It's been there from MRO. We've introduced a service catalog off of these capabilities, and from that, we're giving people the ability to manage sets of services and service information, as well as to be able to go in and run catalogs of services for end users to be able to more easily abstract what they need to get done and the processes they want to manage. And this is a unique capability. Other companies and clients sell service catalogs to go with their help desk. Ours is integrated in. You buy our service desk, and it's a part of it at the same time. We have out-of-the-box processes. We've invested millions in enhancing the MRO development team that developed the original 6.2 product to being able to get to 7.1 and beyond. We've been delivering all of the documented ITUP processes. You've got the ITUP model for customers to see what they're going to get as they get started, and they are able to use the ITUP processes to be able to use our practices and our capabilities out of the box. We do run into clients from time to time that want to customize these, and the ability to edit those processes to be able to change them is something that we also provide. So developers and people that want to make their own process extensions or modify our processes have a well-documented editing process that's a part of the capabilities that you can use with the product. And we've got seamless integration with the rest of the product suite as a part of the 7.1 deliverable. Got to realize that we focused on moving from 6.2 to 7.1, and integration was a huge part of that. Over 45 products are integrated in with TSRM. The list is out on the wiki. Products such as ITM and NetCool and TPM and TATM and TVSM and many, many more are all integrated with TSRM. So when it kind of comes to a point of somebody asking, you know, Gartner says you're not well integrated and what have you really done, again, you got to go back to the fact that they largely evaluated the previous release. They even spent the most amount of time with reference customers that were on the prior release, the 6.2 release, the old code. So they didn't see the work that we'd done. They didn't see where we're taking our clients, and they didn't really spend much time with clients that are implementing 7.1. Some of that is timing-based. Gartner started this work before 7.1 shipped, Some of this is that they were in a rush to get this report out, and despite the fact that we did our best, they simply didn't want to take the time that we asked them to take around 7.1, and so therefore most of this report is written around 6.2. And the things that you see here listed on slide number 7 aren't largely covered in their report or covered well at all. So this is a point where you've got to have a discussion with the client about evaluating old software not spending the time to look at what we've done with some of the new stuff. It's regretful, guys, that we've got to have this call with you, but it is a fact that you need to make sure that you're prepared to be able to deal with this. These type of timing issues happen all the time with these write-ups. Some vendors and some analysts are more generous, others are not, I think this is a case where we're caught in a timing gap, and you guys are going to have to make sure you've got the facts in hand just to be able to motor through this. Keep in mind the successful sales you're having. Keep in mind all the sales you did in third quarter, and you got to say, well, not much has really changed, because prior to this, we weren't even ranked in a Magic Quadrant. So it's not like we've gone from bad to worse, or we've gone from a place that was good to a bad place. We've gone to a place that Gartner's put us in from an old release of software, and it's just that simple. So this quadrant is outdated, in our opinion. It's no longer based on the version we have in the market, if you look at slide 8. Don't let the Gartner work damage, your great work. Use the other pieces of information we've tried to provide you on this war room, and we will be aggressively mining the war room, and you have contacts and people to talk to at the bottom. TSRM is a part of our service management solution. We are the only vendor delivering a single process automation architecture underneath all of the products that you see mentioned here on slide 8. We are IBM in terms of our breadth, our scale, our services, and the things that we can do from an execution point of view. We are behind this product. If need be, I myself can come and do calls. Several of you have asked me to participate in preemptive phone calls. I'm happy to do that. And we can show people our investment levels, and we can disclose with people some of the things that we're doing in next releases. This is a well-funded and key part of the portfolio, and we are continuing to invest, and we can work with you and your individual clients to disclose to them that type of information at the same time. So bear that in mind. Keep it in mind. And as you look at slide number 9, and John and I are probably going to talk a little bit about this together, one of the things that we've tried to do on slide number 9 is give you a war room. So if you're running in slideshow mode, go click on the war room. Go bring it up. You'll see that we're putting in here a whole set of capabilities for you to operate from and to maneuver from. The war room will be manned. It will have regular calls on it that you can see on here. We have contacts that are at the war room. If you can't make a call, send them an email. Can't get a response from one of them because they're traveling, send myself, send John an email. Title it something like Service Desk Help Needed. We'll be all over it, right? Put it in our urgent basket, and we'll be there to help you. The analyst reports that are out there, customer information, competitive information, all are out here on the war room, and as we get more information, we'll update it. If some of you guys see information we should put out here, send it to us. We'll try to get it out there and make sure that it gets updated at the same time. If you have an anecdote or a win in the field you want to tell, write it down. We'll have somebody write it up in a formal sense and put it out here also, and we'll be happy to share your success with the rest of the team at the same time. And this is just something that we want to make sure is available and that you guys are aware of and it's at your disposal, and you should use it. Let me pause right here. John, you got anything you want to add here before we move forward?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great overview. It's just, the main thing here is we've got all the information you need ready to go. It's posted on the website. We have sales plays and customer deliverables all ready to go. We have a war room phone call if you need more information. You see the call-in times and the numbers and the dates listed below. If we need additional call-in times for different time zones because of the place in the world you're in, please let me know. Another anecdote, Chris, that Tasker Generous just same time me. In 2006, Gartner said by 2011, CA, BMC, and HP will cede control of the enterprise service desk market. IBM's R&D budget, service groups, sales channels, business partners, customer base should contribute to the Maximo service desk gaining market share by 2011. So here's another kind of contradiction in this whole kind of series of events around Service Desk. So with that, let's go to chart number 10. And this is one of the key things as we move from kind of the information portion to this call to what you need to do about it. Slide number 10 says, as you begin to broaden the sale from a service desk and really kind of hit how we use our service desk around a consolidated service catalog as well as a help desk system and extend that into other areas, it really begins to differentiate your offerings. Over 60% of our deals included our Service Request Manager along with our IT Asset Management product, and a greater percentage of that included our Change and Configuration Management database along with that. So when we sell these holistic solutions, we are extremely successful in the marketplace. So with that, let's go to chart number 11, and why is all this integration valuable? And Chris, maybe I'll let you hit this chart real quick.
You know, mute's a bad button, so thank you, John. All right, so slide number 11. Let's talk a little bit about what we're trying to do here with slide number 11. This is what we want you to talk to your clients about in terms of what we've done as we moved from the 6.2 release of our software to the 7.1. This is the integration that we've built and that has shipped and that people like Harley-Davidson and Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi and others are deploying and getting benefit from right now. Essentially, what they've bought into is the fact that they've got a single process automation engine. Right? No matter what the processes are they're running, they can run them from a single place. So when you go demo this with a customer, usually what I do is I bring up a copy of the workspace or the work panel that you would do your process management from, and I take them to the go-to menu. Right, and over at the go-to menu, I go drop down and I say, what processes do you want to see? And I know you asked me for a help desk demo today, Mr. Customer, but if you look out here, you can also see processes for asset management. You can see process management for assets that are in the IT organization. You can see help and incident and problem and release and change and configuration management. You can see lifecycle management processes out here as well. And the key part behind this is that we see the enterprise as converging. People don't want to use different process engines for things that ultimately are going to link together. If you ever go ask one of your clients, are you done when you're done with ITIL? And they'll say, no, I'm not done. I've got to link those ITIL processes together. And then I've got to link them to my business processes so that I can actually help the business get value out of efficient change and incident and release. And this is what we're doing. We're building a service management model that allows you to link your processes together, to share data from one process to the next, and to be able to help clients get the value, whether they're in medical, whether they're in telecommunications, whether they're in the finance industry, or whether they're in manufacturing or something else. We want our customers to be able to use a common application basis, a common process engine that links it all together. What we shipped in the 7.1 release of code, starting with the CCMDB and TATM and the process managers, and then moving along with this past spring to SRM 7.1, and what we're getting ready to ship here with TPM 7.1 is an underlying common process automation engine. When you make a process, it is shareable among the different other areas. Ask your clients how much time they spend integrating processes. Ask your clients how they go from runbook to task automation to process automation to service automation in a single engine, and if they have a product set that can do that. Most of them don't. The fact of the matter is that HP and BMC are still gluing these things together. The fact of the matter is that they're trying to resolve old integration from Peregrine and Remedy, and in some cases with Opsware and Blade Logic, and trying to put those things together. Right? And they're trying to figure out how to do this and how to do this in an efficient fashion, and they are behind. We can out-demo this capability, and this is what's causing you guys to get the 100 sales that I told you about in the last 4 months. This is also what is keeping SRM ahead in the market. You guys are out demoing for what it is, It's not just a help desk. It's a process automation platform that you can do services from and you can integrate the rest of your capabilities together with. And as you grow, you don't have to rip and replace. Key point. If I start putting data in my service request management capabilities, it is usable by the rest of the processes that are out there. I can do asset management. I can do IT asset management. I can do my ITIL-based processes all off that data from a common interface with a common set of reports. So broad capabilities get the customers to understand they haven't seen 7.1 and neither did Gartner. And this is the type of thing you want to have with them from a discussion point of view. John, back to you.
Okay, thanks a lot. And I see we're missing a chart. The next chart should have been what we affectionately call the 7 segments, but hopefully all of you are familiar with our theme around visibility, control, and automation. And then all of our products fit into 7 solution segments, whether it's service availability and performance management, service delivery and process automation, which is the purpose and the kind of the product that we've been talking about on this call today, our storage solutions, our security solutions, and our service assurance solutions that we have out in the marketplace. On chart number 12, this is kind of a good chart to kind of how do we tie everything all together, and there's kind of 6 critical points here. And it's not always necessary that you do all of these 6 from us, although we highly prefer it. And it's not necessary that our customers may, do all these 6 things in order. But all these 6 items are very important. And being able to understand what's going on with the infrastructure, from how do we discover where the device or the asset is, how do we monitor it, how do we event it, how do we understand how any fault or any issue is correlated and resolved into a root cause analysis. And then the second thing is how do the users see this? So whether it's looking at your help desk system and the trouble tickets or you're doing something like transaction monitoring, being able to compare the user experience versus the status of your infrastructure can yield some differing answers. And then the third thing is, what happens when things change? So how can I understand how the router and all those configuration items are connected to the application server and how all those configuration items are connected to the network and how all of those configuration items are interrelated to your back-end databases and your storage devices? So being able to discover how a business service exists within your enterprise, populate all of those configuration items into a common data store or CMDB, and then measure and monitor for change is very critical. So point number 1 says the server is up or down or the network's up or down. Point number 2 is from the user perspective in that, yes, it's available or no, it's not. And then maybe point number 3 is something changed versus something broke or failed in point number 1. And then box number 4 here, how do we relate all of this to the business service and put in context of our key performance indicators and measure this in terms of our revenue, in terms of risk and compliance reporting, or in terms of SLAs that we need to measure and map to. And then point number 5 is how do I optimize my organization? How do I utilize best practices to begin to take labor costs out and fully automate things? And then point number 6 is how can I take action to ensure it's done efficiently and effectively without adversely affecting my other services? So in the interest of time, I'm going to quickly go through chart number, the next 4 charts. These are the top service desk prospecting customers. We need to ask every Tivoli seller and every software group and services seller as well as our business partners on the phone today is, let's ask our customers these questions. Are you planning to upgrade your service desk in the next 18 months? What are your concerns for these upgrades? When is your maintenance renewal date? How many instances of a service desk do you have in the organization? What about other departments such as your facilities department, fleet, plant maintenance? Are these all from different vendors? I was recently at a customer. They had 17 different service desks in their organization. Even the customer admitted that was a little crazy, and they're moving forward with an evaluation of our solution. How well does your service desk support your ITIL initiatives out of the box? How easy is it to configure your service desk both now and when the next upgrade occurs on the code? Do these configurations transfer and with the upgrade intact? How does your asset management solution integrate with your service desk, both your core enterprise assets as well as your IT assets? What about discovery, change, configuration management, process management? How about automating tasks within and across all of your domains? Can you automate across the service life cycle, provisioning an application directly into your service catalog? So once you present some of the facts around the Gartner Magic Quadrant report, transfer it from a discussion of the actual Magic Quadrant report to some of these prospecting questions and get your customer talking about the solution and their business needs, and that's where IBM and our services teams and our business partners can really shine. The next charts, number 14, 15, and 16, are around competing with various vendors such as BMC and HP. I'd like to settle on chart number 17, and then Chris maybe ask for some closing comments, and then let's make sure we have some time for Q&A. So if you go to chart number 17, call to action. The most critical thing is to find out what service desk your customer is using, what version it is, when their maintenance renewal date is coming up, and enter this opportunity into Siebel. Al Zoller and myself had a pre-call with the management team last Monday, and we had 200 sales managers on the phone, and we got a commitment from each and every one of your sales managers that we would have 15 opportunities per sales manager entered into Siebel by the end of this month. And I think this is a critical thing. Let's capture this. It is just vital that we go out and execute, and we can increase that market share growth from 400% to even greater. And if I take a look at our pipelines as we go into Q4, we have over $50 million of service desk opportunities set for closure here in Q4. So we are set for just a dynamite fourth quarter. But let's look off into next year, and let's begin to do that opportunity mining with your customers and enter those things into Siebel. Number two on the call to action, prepare and deliver service desk takeout proposals to your customers. Bundle it with other solutions that you're selling. Run the sales play, and this is a hot link also on number two. So in this action, deliver some unsolicited proposals. If we do nothing else other than lower the price of our competition, we succeed there by taking profit out of their business. But more than not, you will get an opportunity generated by doing something around an unsolicited proposal in this space. Leverage our process automation engine to differentiate our solutions. Chris covered that in pretty good detail. Use our monitoring and event install base as an entry point to displace HP and BMC. So where you have large deployments of our monitoring products, either on the mainframe or distributed, as well as the other Tivoli products, use this to deliver a bundled price with Service Desk in your next monitoring and event management opportunity. We also have a Q4 pricing play in place, so if you have an SRM customer today, we have the ability to sell Tamit at a very good discount for fourth quarter. Utilize your resources, visit the war room, attend the weekly call if you have questions, or if you have something that can't wait, just please send a note to Chris or I, and we will get on it immediately. And then finally, be sure to load your service desk opportunities into Siebel by the end of November. I already mentioned this, that your managers have been asked to deliver 15 new opportunities each. So, Chris, with that, I'd like to maybe open it, any closing comments from you, and then we'll move to Q&A.
I'd like to get on the Q&A, and I hear what some folks have to say. We've tried to, I think your guys give you all the facts that we've got, put them on the table. Let you guys see it. Obviously, we are going to be leveraging the war room and the things that are out there. Obviously, we're going to continue to work with people like Gartner, and there are other evaluations coming up that will give us a chance to kind of highlight around this, we think, with some of the things that we do. So take a look, and let's hear what your comments are, guys, and let's figure out how we can help you best.
Thank you for our telephone audience. If you do have a question at this time, press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, make sure the mute function is turned off or pick up the handset prior to pressing the corresponding digits. Once again, star 1 if you do have a question or comment. At this time, we'll pause for just a moment. We do have a couple questions in the queue. We'll hear from Clay Marshall. Clay, your line is open. Please check your mute button.
Hey, good morning. This is Clay Marshall with the Maximo brand. Just a quick question around implementation services. I've had a couple of opportunities that we have sold. We found that it's been a challenge getting the product implemented. It's created some issues with a couple of our customers that we're using. In one case, an accelerator, a bronze accelerator product, and some of the feedback from the group that we were talking to within GTS is they just didn't have the resources available and the expertise. And I was wondering if you had any feedback around that.
Yeah, I think, in this explosive growth, we are, adding services capabilities more and more every day. Our services teams are ramping up very well as I'm not sure exactly what part of the world you're in, but, we do have some wonderful partners that either coexist and subcontract with our colleagues at Global Services or do things on their own. So there are a number of ways we can get this done, and sometimes we just have to kind of think outside the box to get you the right skill at the right customer.
And this is Chris. To be blunt, we are seeing quite a bit of growth around this product, and GPS, GBS, and GTS have stepped up and started to train new folks. I'll be blunt, as you go and bring more people on and you train them, you got to get them over that learning curve, which we have had to deal with in a couple accounts. This is something that we're working aggressively. We've got probably about a dozen developers augmenting different teams around the world right now. Not ideal, but for a short period of time, it's something that we're trying to do, as well as Bill Cribbs' lab services team is ramping up skills to help also at the same time. So, we've got to focus on it. It is something that, depending where you are, we might want to make sure you understand how well they're trained on 7-1. These are good questions to ask, and it's also maybe a point when you come to the war room to make sure that as we're doing evals and initial startup work that we bring in the right people to help get that going at the same point in time. So use the war room to your advantage if you're in the process of closing something, and we want to make sure we got the right engagement team there.
Yeah, and Chris, I guess a final point here is that some of our traditional partners, especially in the NetCool space, like Generation E, Softenio, ReachView, and Windward, have really skilled up in this area. So we may have another set of partners that we can look to help augment our fast-growing sales pace here.
Great point.
Thank you. As a reminder, that is star one. If you do have a question, we'll move on to John Davis.
Hi, John Davis. I represent IT delivery and our strategic outsourcing customers. We've got a bit of a challenge here due to the fact that we've just established 6 shared services instances around the world based on 6.2, and we're just in the process of trying to persuade all of our SO customers to board onto those instances, and Tivoli haven't actually released TSRM 7.1 shared capability yet, so we couldn't upgrade them if we wanted to. So this gives us a bit of a challenge if the mitigation against the Gartner report is to say it was based on 6.2 and 7.1's better. We can't actually go to 7.1 for shared services. Any comments on that one?
So this is the service provider-oriented version of 7.1?
Correct.
Okay. And I believe it's going to be coming out in the near future, if I understand correctly here. Let me see if I can get a date right in front of me. It's going to be coming next year is what it looks like. We need to work with you offline if you want to be talking about the shared services version, because this is the type of thing where maybe we need to figure out either if there's an accelerator we can do to get you onto 7.1 or what we should do there. But, yes, we should take this as a discussion point with myself and Snehal and Scott Mady and figure out how we get your ability to move along. And there might be something we need to accelerate in development to help that also.
Yeah, so John, I got your note, so I will get back to you. And Chris, maybe this, I think you're right. We'll take this offline and see what we can do to speed this up.
Yeah, I would hate to see us doing a bunch of deployed services off 6.2 for a long period of time here, just for a variety of reasons. We're going to be wanting to move that along, so let's figure out what we can do.
Okay. Good question, John.
Thank you, and I'll move on to Andrew Griffin.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing? It's just actually more of a comment than a question, in fact, just to let you know that we had a win this quarter selling TSRM into a small company in London called Palmarium. Interesting because they evaluated Remedy and they evaluated the Microsoft offering and selected our solution for its functionality, and they really liked its integration with ITM and the monitoring stuff, and they really did give it a detailed look. We went through quite an in-depth demo, and I think they found that it gave them a lot more functionality than they even needed day one, but price-wise, very competitive, and yeah, good anecdotal evidence there for people in the field. We'll work with them to get them referenceable going forward.
Thank you.
So I think it backs up some of the stuff you just said. That's all.
Thank you very much. That's very good to hear.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, and I'll move on to Rennie Cheatham.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. We just had a win for a customer in the mid-market space in Alabama, so it's pretty big for kind of the GB team. But they're now implementing and are currently implementing 7.1, which is great, but they're running into some challenges on the education and training side. They want to have it. They're not large enough to send their group or to pay to send their group for an off-site training, and it's a little bit pricey to have someone come on site. So they were really looking to some type of online training that I guess Maximo or IBM would offer, which is offered with a lot of the other products that they bought and kind of the bundled solution that we gave them. Is there a roadmap to have online training for this, for the TSRM product, or is there some way that we're addressing, I guess, scaling the education and training that would be available for the mid-market space?
So if you contact Scott Mady, he can help you with what we're doing to put in place web training around this product. That's M-A-D-E-Y. He's one of the product managers, and he'll take you through latest on that and what he's doing with the training.
Okay, and I have one more follow-up question to that, too. So one of the things that did appeal to them is the fact that it integrates. So we're currently with the new release product, trying to integrate TSRM to NetCool, but more importantly, they're trying to do TSRM to Rational. Is there a methodology that IBM follows in order to get that, or is that something that we're still working on, or how does that play out?
I lost the second part of your question. Could you repeat that?
Second part.
Okay.
Good.
So in terms of integration, they were very interested, and one of the things that kind of helped us win this deal is us talking about how we integrate,
right,
not only with the entire BA portfolio that we've got, but some of our integration practices with the other brands that we have. So they bought Rational as part of the bundled solution, and they were interested in how the TSRM product and Rational will integrate together, and we've had some challenges around getting that integrated. And we have spoken with Scott Mady and his team, and he kind of tells us that it does integrate, and we've gotten, you know,
we have a number of things we can do here. We've got demos where we can show it and prove it, some presentations to add some data around it. But there's kind of, you know, three critical areas where we can tie this into around a monitoring automation solution where, you know, the use case is the code, there's an issue in the code and it's causing a service degradation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Tivoli tools find the issue and then hand it off to Rational to change the code to fix it.
Okay.
Second thing is around release and testing of applications. So it's developed in the Rational set of products, released into Tivoli to do that critical release testing, and then turn it into a production deployment. So that's kind of the third use case. The second use case. And then the third use case would be around how we link all of our configuration items together between both from an application perspective as well as from an operational perspective in the CMDB. So, again, get a note off to myself or join one of those war rooms, and we can certainly address that one pretty quick.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind. This is Chris. Go ahead and copy me in on a note. Is this around Vulcan by any chance?
Yes, it is.
All right. Yeah, go ahead and give me a note on it, and just put it over my transom in my urgent basket. It's Chris O'Connor. And I'll stop in with Scott and Pandy and see where they are. I know they're working it.
Yeah.
I knew it by name, so I just didn't know if that was you. And let's see where that goes.
Okay. And do we have any references to give for that, or is that you? I can address that offline with you.
Yeah, we'll take you through where we are. I think we're doing some unique stuff with there with this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Now move on to Gary Budnick.
Chris, hey, John. I know we've had a couple wins here locally, too, in New York Metro on the service desk and also integrating all the different pieces together. Question comes down to when you talk to customers, they typically, you know, gen their reports a few times or you can have follow-ups. There is Gartner committed to doing an update of the report anytime soon, because they are basing this on, you know, data that's over a year old.
So yeah, so they'll start.
Can you comment on that as far as when the next update or report would be? Because, you know, a customer may ask that. And I know we've had a lot of wins since then, and, you know, the product just definitely, you know, competes a hell of a lot better on the new release. So
hey, Gary. So what you'll get is you'll get this back from Gartner then in parts. They will update things like their market share analysis, which I expect us to grow again over the 94% that we had in the previous one. And we'll keep updating those in the war room. So we'll see parts of what Gartner is doing continue to update. They're doing, for example, now a piece of work on integration with the CMDB. I expect us to show up rather well on that, and so you'll see us putting that out there. This particular help desk piece of paper that they've written will start again probably in January, the same cycle they go on, and it will probably run again out. It will probably take the normal cycle they've got of about 6 months from them to update it. I would only give you one thought, Gary, which is you're probably sitting here saying it's November, Chris. You know, what took them so long this time? We were to be gentle, very vocal of when we saw this, and we literally have been pressing Gartner for months to look at the latest release of software thoroughly. So we think that we're going to work with them just to try to get this revved, but I think you'll see a couple other Gartner pieces of paper around market share and around CMDB and other things, and we'll put all those in the war room as they happen, but I think it's going to be in pieces that you'll see it come back.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you. We'll now take a question from Lance Lutz.
Hey, Chris, in terms of dollars, how much money did we pour into development of version 7.1?
Well, let's see. I can get you guys a dollar number. In terms
Chris,
of increase or total
why
dollar?
Why are you asking the question? I'm kind of curious on that.
Well, I guess my thought is, okay, so they obviously thought the Maximo version was not a strong solution. If we can say, well, we spent $75 million or whatever it is on this new version, that would be a positive to me.
So what we'll do is we'll arm the wiki with some of the things we did, but what you'll find is there'll be percentage-based type discussions. We try to shy away from putting an exact number out there because you end up in this counting apples discussion then. About, well, so where are your developers and what do they cost and where are my developers and what do they cost and that type of thing. But we substantially increased the development budget by about 30% from when MRO had it around just this part of the portfolio.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and I think another critical point there is just look what we've done in the you know, almost 2 years that we've owned the product from an IBM perspective. It's been vastly upgraded. Look at the, you know, the customers. I think the development budget is a good data point, but have it in context with all the others just helps you out even more. Well, operator, do we have any more questions left?
We do have a couple questions in the queue. We'll move on to David Hart.
Hey, John, real quick, I see the promotional pricing for the, you know, TSRM to TAMIT. Is there anything considered for the reciprocal if I've got a TAMIT install base for TSRM promotional?
Yeah, we tried this in Q4 just to see what occurred. If you have a need this quarter or you can sense, you know, some sales opportunities, send me a note and we can do something one-off very quickly for you. If not, we'll probably do something a little more broadly here in Q1.
Excellent.
Yeah, good question.
Call. Good call.
Thank you. We'll move on to Terry Brown.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Chris. Good conversation. I have a question. I have a customer at the wireless carrier that has CCMDB, our CCMDB solution, and they're very interested in our TSRM solution. The problem is that we do not do circuit management. Do we have that on our roadmap?
So, Terry, that's a good question, and given that we are really looking hard to get some references in kind of the telco and communication service provider space, let's maybe take that one offline and see what we can do, because I would love to get a good wireless carrier in as a reference in a deal.
We've got one. Good.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. And I'll move on to Steve Cascio.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing, guys?
Morning.
A quick question, I guess, I would have coming from the Maximo brand. A couple of things we've been running into, and we've heard it addressed already with respect to references. Certainly, we need those references. I know we've used some of them very heavily, like BAE Systems and Harley. But a lot of the reference digging seems to be done at the field level. Any support above region from the broader team would be much appreciated. The other comment, question I had is with respect to the product, we are having a lot of customers that are experiencing performance issues, memory leaks, et cetera. Have we done or have we published documentation to show how we've addressed those performance type issues? Because those are certainly killers in the field.
I don't think we've put together a single package. I think that you're probably right. We've probably addressed them either customer by customer or product by product. Your thought basis would be maybe put together a tuning guide that makes sure that people have anything that is maintenance applied, or if there is tuning gotchas they need to know about, make sure they know it. Put together some quick hit document so they know about it.
That would be helpful. You know, as you can imagine, you know, memory leaks are like finding a needle in a haystack, but a lot of times they have very similar attributes, and something along that tuning guide would be greatly, I think, helpful in the field.
All right, we'll do that, and you, I'm sorry, I missed your name again. You are?
Steve Cascio.
All right, Steve, we'll get somebody to work with you so that any specific instances you've got are there, and we'll do a round, maybe include you on the review, and we'll use it as a war room material, just as an extra document. We'll title it something into a positive light of, you know, tuning SRM version 7.
Okay, that'd be helpful. And Chris, I'll probably reach out to you. Lance Lutz, who joined earlier, he and I work in a fourth quarter opportunity that's pretty significant around TSRM, so could use some guidance from you.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, John. Now, operator, let's maybe take one more question. We're running over our hour limit, and I know we've got, you know, 300 people on the phone, so we need to let them back to Q4 selling, please.
Certainly. We'll now hear from Rolf Keller.
Hello. Is Rolf Keller? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hello.
Yeah, okay, I try to keep this short. I'm new to the organization. We received an RFI for Union Bank Switzerland, UBS, with a very tight time schedule. And since we're in the situation in preparing an answer with a partner of us, I just want to ask, what would be the standard process for me to validate the solution the partner did put together, and who potentially could also have a look on it from our organization to validate it and confirm as well the roadmap, because one of the key aspects in this service request management fulfillment is that we have to integrate and maybe federate with existing CMDBs, and I want to assure that we have the most accurate information out of your roadmap and standing.
Okay. First off, good question. I think you need to contact Jay Chappell there in Switzerland first, and then through the kind of the sales management team, we need to make sure we get this off to our SWAT team for them to take a look at it and make sure we address those integration points correctly, and then we can help you through that. But Jay and or Mads will get you the right resource to get the RFP answered ASAP.
Okay, perfect. With Jay, I'm in contact already. Thank you.
Okay, and Jay can call me if he needs some more help, but I think you're in good hands on this one.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Well, operator, I guess we'll close it out. If anybody has any remaining questions that we didn't get to, please feel free to email it to Chris O'Connor or myself, and we will get them answered in the next few hours or by the end of the day at the latest. And Chris, any closing comments from you?
No, I want to thank everybody for getting on the call. Tremendous response, tremendous interest. Guys, the product is selling well. It is hot. There's timing windows when all these things happen. We wanted you guys armed and aware. Keep going. Your questions are good. Your fact that, you know, you got customers that sold it are good. So there's good talk to a friend type referenceability around the product as well as work in the war room. And, you know, notes to our urgent baskets will get our attention around the subject very much also. So please let us know what we can do.
Yeah, good luck and great selling Q4, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.